start spreading the ass. I'm here to ask. I don't know where to ask. In the olden ass. I'm spreading the ass. Like Rocco's afraid, I'm spreading ass. I'd like to be so sexy, baby. It's an ass. Welcome to 2019.
If I could make it in your ass, I'll make it in N.
Hey, who said stop the music?
Hey,
the good bit.
Welcome to 2019 and Friendly Jimmy's podcast.
Each year is an inevitable march towards being three fat Guidos.
Wait, this is the first time.
Two of you are wearing Hawaiian shirts. We're in our basement now. We're two-thirds of the way there. We're singing Sinatra. Ali's not wearing pants.
It's hot in here.
Guido than Guido.
This is the first time in history that all three of us have a mic.
This is huge.
What a revelation. How long have we been doing this podcast?
I don't know.
Like two, 3 years.
That's
and this is
so
the first time we've got three mics and we're filming.
This is a new era.
Not inspired by Joe Rogan at all.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, the fact that we're...
Yeah, but seriously, it's not. It's all Logan Paul. But anyway, I mean,
yeah.
You mean jump out of a micro, fucking, what's it called? A helicopter whilst eating a pretzel.
And you don't like that content?
Yeah. I know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Isn't that
I'm getting
inside
old.
Of your brain? That's all Logan Paul does every day. He just goes into a magic school bus and goes inside your ear.
You're the reason he's a millionaire.
And doesn't even take all the... There's so many good ideas that he just gleans them like in the magic school bus where it's like, they're red blood cells. He just puts his hand out and just goes, and just grabs one and doesn't even have to read it.
So
doesn't have to read
true.
It. Just like, yeah.
Going to bungee jump but dressed as a dinosaur.
Yeah, it mainly revolves around eating good food. That's my brain. It's just like, I really do like ramen quite a bit. Like, and that prick's getting him. He's becoming a millionaire. Screw you, man.
You are the classic example of somebody who, in every self-help book you ever read, there's always someone who, don't you have an invention? And then 6 months later, you see it in Kmart and you think, who was the SOB that stole my idea?
SOB. Can we bring that back? No. That's already a thing in America. Can we bring that to Australia?
It needs to be imported. Halloween
SOB.
Needs to go back.
Halloween, exactly. Halloween can piss off. We'll start International SOB Festival. Day for Thanksgiving of this expression.
Wait,
SOB.
What's SOB?
It means
God damn,
I'm sorry, but just to draw attention to this again. The man that asked who SOB is not wearing pants.
It's hot!
And this isn't a joke. This wasn't set up. He legitimately asked Jordan, hey man, I got a question for you. Can I take my pants off?
I was wearing
drop pants.
As I pointed out, it's like it's just very much like how Logan Paul steals his ideas from my brain. Like, the Nationals should just follow you around because he'd just take a fucking photo on their iPhone and be like, well, we're in Parliament for 8 years. I mean, like, this writes itself. It's like just be like, guess which one of these blokes is a immigrant, you know, illegal. It's like, and then just this, the NCIS
yeah,
center, like,
as soon as they're in their house, they're going to drop their pants.
These are
literally
barely underpants. These are boxers. And they say,
you're
hashtag
much
no
wearing
filter.
A skirt.
Hey, they can
I
see.
Didn't know Pakistanis wore kilt.
What the fuck?
Is there it's a pant so bottom to it?
What? No.
Oh, no, now that he spreads it out. But those are extremely old underpants.
Immigrants wearing
boxers. Where did you buy them?
They're not that old.
How old? Give us.
I was like 10.
Immigrants wearing boxer briefs. The brief moment we bought the Granger's Hogwatch immigration policies.
Din, din. What,
it's all facts. I'm really glad. And look, honestly, if there's anybody that should be voting Nationals, it is Mislav.
Oh, can we talk about
that?
Let's maybe start off with that.
His mind is half, the left side of his hemisphere is Logan Paul's stunts. The other half is just a constant Nationals ad. You don't want the greenies in charge of eucalyptus trees, do you? They'll never cut any damn.
We are overrun with koalas. I mean, look at the science.
And I'm pretty sure they are immigrants. You can go back far enough.
We're all immigrants that way.
Is this a good segue?
I don't know. Marsupial lion.
Maybe like Miss Love has a talk about his voting preferences.
Ooh. Oh, is this no.
Pass okay, you want to you want to come? Okay, we'll come back to that later.
Are we gonna start with that?
Are we
that
going
no?
back to that? That's
well, we'll come back to that. Whatever you like.
All right, may as well. So we're gonna okay. Let's start with something more substantive.
Readings. Come on, readings.
All right, fine. Readings from the Bible. Where is the Bible? So, because all three of us have Jordan actually found this liking to Jesus.
Yes.
So we're gonna talk about the Lord and His Savior, not His Savior, our Savior.
Ali is being sarcastic, but I challenge you: find me someone who is more of a religious figure in this country than David Koch.
Oh wait, well, come on! I've got to put the intro first.
No! Oh, are we? Is this part of? Oh,
it gets better.
Why did she go into an American accent at the end? I'm sorry, you have to look this up. Just pause it for a second. Grant Denyer is putting his high school hat to the side.
Grant Denyer.
This is on national Australian television. I would accept every single like proven terrorist from like Afghanistan into Australia at the drop of a hat if we can get rid of Grant Denyer. I would do it in 1 second.
Dude, just look at this man.
He's always
Mel said it all. We spend all this money on wars to fight terrorists, but they're living right here
in the streets,
attacking common decency.
Yes.
Think honestly. What was he thinking? Family Feud. I'm pretty sure that your wife is Tinkerbell. You're too small to be dating a human being.
Also, just quickly before we get into the Bible, Jordan wanted to. Because I dug up this artifact. I found the resurgence of this. I messaged both of you guys this video. Like
classic,
I found
Miss Love found a YouTube video that had 34,000 views and was uploaded 7 years ago.
And it was the first.
All of a sudden, Miss Love, always in the know, clicks on it now. How did you get it?
It was the first.
Oh shit! Look at the first comment on this video. Friendly Geordie sent me here.
I'm bringing it back.
Yes.
Everybody has to go and watch this for your own sake. This isn't even an extended joke for us. This is for you.
And then just quickly,
you think that we
Ali,
don't give you bang for buck for Patreon.
Just quickly, Ali, do me the honor of reading the second comment after the first comment.
Well, okay. This is possibly the saddest moment in human history.
So good. So good.
Whopping 30 likes. I think it has more likes than the video.
I can't believe. Wait, can you scroll down? I can't believe I didn't. Did I not write anything? Because I'm really disappointed if I didn't. I thought I would have written something.
Well.
No, I jumped.
Let's just not go through all the comments.
Look, I.
All right, just. Okay, this is. So we're going
to
be reading.
Sorry,
from,
no, wait. There's one more thing that we need to do before we even get into the Bible, which is you have to listen to Nat rap. I'm sorry.
Do it.
Why does she look
do
like
it.
That?
Do it.
Just play
it. Just okay. Play that part.
And everybody, you can look this up in your own time. That's your own business if you want to, but you have to listen to this. Get ready.
This is what you demonstrate through your words, your actions, and the way you translate. Listen up. You gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love.
She's a newsreader. She still has a job.
She can't.
Why does she look so scared?
I don't know. She has
I've never
no...
seen fear and anger in that intensity unless I've been watching an interview where an 80-year-old is being interviewed about a genocide that they participated in their 20s. It's the same photo they have.
You know,
I think this is leftist propaganda. What about the time Bernie Sanders did a rap?
Jeez,
that was pretty much the same.
That. Look, you know that...
I don't remember the lyrics, but it was just like he was basically just saying words. With a soundtrack behind him.
Well, you know the Irish.
Where are you when you go into the hood and you say, "Where's my healthcare?"
The 1% they ain't spreading it round. That Irish guy, just to tie in with that, or Scottish. I don't know. He's Irish or Scottish. He looks like he looks like a Down syndrome fetus. That guy. I don't know. I hope the annals of time have desecrated his being because I haven't seen him recently. I think he got a job on Nova somehow. 8 years ago, but anyway.
Are you talking about
the Irish
guy?
He's like a pudgy Irish guy.
Yes, and he looks like he should have had no other job in life but to edit Miner. Videos for Wii News.
Yes, he's wearing a Che Guevara shirt.
Yes, that's right! And has really cheap green screen in the background, it's where you can see the outline of him. Again,
wait,
it's not like
these
people are short of money. Sunrise is pretty cashed
play it,
up.
Play it, play it, play it, play it. No. He gets his own little spotlight.
Yeah, way towards the end. Listen up, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
All the stars.
I remember this being released 10 years ago and thinking,
"No, they did a good job."
Guy.
They most certainly did.
He's got his own
segment.
He's got his own spot.
Yeah, but I can't remember where it is. It's somewhere along. You're gonna have to do this in your own time. Fast forward. I forgot that like a huge portion of this podcast.
This guy is the worst. Though. He's the dark horse of the fucked cunts because he actually has some lyricism.
I don't know. To slightly paraphrase Melissa Doyle, have you seen Sonya Kruger?
Well, look, we've got to do it on there.
Yeah, we'll do it in another time. We've got to get onto the important bits of this.
Give the introduction of the Bible that we're about to read.
Jordan, just quickly. I found it on none other than the House of Love, of course. Now continue. One of my Darrow friends on a group chat I have on Facebook resurrected it, and it was really satisfying. Yeah, so there you go.
And you do need to go into the annals of the House of Love one day. We'll do an entire podcast about it because it is a piece of Australian history that needs to be put down to the annals.
I agree.
But also what needs to be put down to the annals is the fact that David Koch wrote a book 10 years ago to celebrate its 10-year anniversary. We will be reading extracts all year from none other than... And if you don't have this... This should be... In every bedroom counter side.
Yeah, the Ruknama of fucking Australia.
It's so good.
Why haven't we spent billions of dollars on a giant golden statue of David Koch that at the bottom it just says, if you buy small oranges, you actually save money because I've got less skin than the big ones.
Can you just point it towards the camera as close as you can just for now, just to get the, you get this. Everybody out there, don't worry about 12 Rules for Life, Jordan Pearson. Don't worry about Tony Robbins.
Don't worry about the Ten Commandments, 101 Ways. It's way more complicated. It's an updated version. Now there's more problems to worry about.
Is it not strange that it looks like one of those...
Why is it so thin? I've never seen a book that thin unless it's like, meant for four-year-olds.
You know, it looks like an LJ Hooker like suggestion pamphlet. You know, it's like advice on property, only if you're keen. So it's about four pages, you know. It's like...
Buying a house could be one of the biggest decisions of your life.
Here's an introduction, And you can... just don't have smashed avocado. Yeah, that was...
I'm sorry. Look, the front is a great photograph. But look, with no further ado, it is called...
Koshy's 101 Ways to Survive 2009. Well, the original plan was for Miss Love to read it, but I think, Jordan, you need to do it in the voice. You need to do it in the fucking voice. Are you going to choose it at random?
It's for the good of the pod, but what is also for the good of the pod is check out the video. You have to look at this pensive photo of David Koch looking into the front, like one of the later albums of Sting.
Dude, you know what's funny? He thinks he's really smart and sophisticated right now, whereas he's a meme. He's a fucking joke.
Also,
it's like a robot sexy. Trained to look serious.
Also, is his signature was his signature written by his 3-year-old
son? Just show
son?
It to the camera, just yeah. so like at least the
I'm
YouTube
sorry,
people
just
can
so
see
we
it.
Have proof of this.
Yeah,
I'm
gotta
moving
show it
towards
to the
camera.
You got to show it.
His signature says cocky.
Well, he's anything but cocky.
So retarded.
I'm sorry, but look, doesn't it make so much sense now? Just by looking at the cover of this, you don't even need to know about the 16 years of service he's put into Sunrise to know that the previous producer that set up Sunrise, the brains behind it, when they fired Mel, which I'm still wreathing about to this day, it's one of the biggest injustices
Did you write
in Australian
in?
History. It was way worse than the genocide. Culling Mel. To replace it with Samantha Armitage? I thought she was a growth on my back that learned to talk.
Wait a sec. Which is the blonde one?
That's Mel, the one that goes, have you seen racist
I had
people who plunder?
I had, and I know you did too. We both had the biggest crush on her.
Stop making fun of important issues.
I had the biggest crush on her. I had the biggest crush on her.
Stop. Sorry, this is so unprofessional. I just need to ask this. Are we still recording?
Yes, we're recording. What do you mean?
Sorry. Hey, it's the first year. It's the first day back in the new year. We can do that.
Keep going.
Do what? Not record?
No, we can make mistakes. I think you're talking about Melissa Doyle's cans, and that is a conversation that I'm not going to steer away from.
Dude. Hell yeah.
No, I am talking
about... She was the one who made... She made me choose Australia as my second home, and now my primary home.
Really?
Melissa Doyle.
I don't know who. Look, I don't know the names of these D-grade losers.
They're not D-grade, dude. They're fucking primetime people.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
That is true. She is the. Even though Nicole Kidman is Australian, she's the Nicole Kidman of Australia.
No, look. All I'm saying.
Fuck off, Nicole Kidman. You can be American now.
You should be like that guy that came back from Syria and then no one accepted his passport and now he's just a citizenless man.
Neil Prakash. Fiji's telling that guy to fuck off and they don't tell anyone to fuck off.
I'll give you a small insight into... how can anyone from Fiji be angry?
It's impossible. There's never been that. It's either been all smiles and drinking of coconuts or cannibalism. That's it.
Yeah. Just to give you a really short insight, it's like basically the scenario was me. Look, I'm speaking for myself. I know that I'm speaking for... I think I'm speaking for Jordan as well. But our whole generation, basically, once Cheese TV, you know, died, the blonde girl that looks... has a like vaguely Jewish nose... She's the kind of girl that like you're like, no, you're not hot. You jump from no, you're not hot to no, you're heaps hot between the space of like 10 seconds.
All the time.
Who's this chick?
Rewind, Ali. You're gonna have to teach us.
I'll show you.
What do you reckon? Does she have international appeal? Is it just because she reminds that, every Australian
that lady?
Everyone would tap Nat.
I would not.
Are you not
Nat.
Talking about Nat? Who are you talking
you
about?
You would, but look at her. She's a very scary, skeletal woman.
I would not tap that lady if someone was giving me $50.
I've changed my mind, and that's the question of this week for podcast members only. Would you tap Nat? Now let's move back.
This isn't a member only one. It's going out to everyone.
Well, turn off all the media issues.
So wait, who are we talking about?
Give me the bloody mouse. God damn it.
This is what happens
when you entrust people to use Hewitt Packard.
There she is.
She's all right. She kind of reminds me of that mom from Home Alone.
Yeah.
See, this is the reason why everyone would tap her. It's because it's very Freudian, but it's the mum everyone wishes they had.
Oh, I forgot. I was like trying not to be this tappy womany in 2019, and I lost out on the first episode.
Dude. You have no one to blame but yourself.
Yeah.
Again, you're not wearing pants, but you're also wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
But there's no women here, it's okay.
Beard.
Yeah, I'm doing this. This is my new thing.
And on top of that, Ali, I'm sorry, but you can't walk into this podcast and say that you're going to get less ratey when the very last thing that you purchased was a bunch of beads that are wooden from Bondi.
So what?
Why did you buy them?
Well, they look good. That's the reason why I bought them. No other reason whatsoever. And Jordan can shut the fuck up.
No, he can't. You have to get branded on your leg a picture of a topless Brazilian man. And then every time someone sees it, so they have to go, boof, de boof, de boof.
Dude, Tom Hardy wears them too.
Tom Hardy is the only man on earth that is allowed to wear this.
Fuck off. Why? Because he's white, right?
Because he's white.
No. That's not true. Miss Love, you're being way too harsh here because it's a little more broad than that. John Mayer is also allowed to wear
it. Yeah, I'll pay that. High five.
Why John Mayer? And why Tom Hardy in particular?
Okay, I'll tell you why.
Look, John Mayer can play acoustic guitar sort of well.
Yes, I can play that one song.
John, that's not good enough.
Hey, it's all you need. It's all you need. What you do is, this is what I've learned. This is my party trick, man. I know one song that no one knows in Australia because it's actually a Bollywood tune that I say is my own composition.
That's douchey enough to wear those beads.
I'm allowed to wear the beads now.
You're man circle. Number three.
You've gone full circle. Now you can. Now you're allowed.
You can play the fucking guitar. So you want them?
No, dude.
You can play electric.
Why can't you wear them? I don't understand.
You can wear them if you were in Inception or if you were fucking Bane.
I don't understand this. You need to tell me what's the reason. Don't give me names of movies.
Okay, I'll explain. You have to be.
Can you wear them if you've appeared on Friendly Geordies?
No.
No, it's way dude, too.
Appearing
look.
On Friendly Geordies is the equivalent of like, I used to eat we Helga's are bread.
Gen Y's Sunrise.
You we're can't, like, Sunrise. We are fucking Gen Y's. We're less edgy than Koshy.
That's so true.
He's more centrist. He's my hero. He's like, I'm too left leaning.
You know what? It, by the way, just like as a side note, that fucking video that you uploaded last time, the single dad one.
Yeah.
Where I have like a scene for 1 microsecond that where was I just a mad video. Raise my hand.
That was a sick. Oh.
I am so pissed off at people because I don't know if they're joking or if they're serious. I've gotten messages saying, great work raising your hand. I'm like, fuck off, cunt. They're like, no, you killed it, bro. It's like, I don't know how to react to that shit. And I am not doing any of your fucking bullshit cameos now. That's how it's going to go.
He's furious.
Because
he's
like,
furious for being given a platform.
People Jeez. Ironically loving him.
Dude.
I was just hanging out doing my own thing. Look, and he's Ali, like, dude, can you come here for a second and raise your hand?
No, Ali, have you not realized?
Plan. It was your plan. Because I remember that day, I was just up to my own business until you're like, hey dude, can you just come here for one second? And then he's just like, just say hi. And then you're Matt, your
like
fucking
you
editor.
Rolled him. Dude, have you not realized, okay, I know this is a pretty hectic concept, I know, but have you not realized that like a lot of the internet involves trolls?
Yeah, I've realized and I want them to fuck off. I used to be a smart political commentator until I became the hand dude.
Dude, you could be... In fact, Stephen Hawking became a meme on the internet. You can't not be paid out on the internet. You can be a astrophysicist.
It's not the internet. People are messaging me. They have my number.
He's got to listen to the wisdom. Listen to the wisdom of the man that looks like a Chechenian freedom fighter.
Why do you not listen to me? When my pepe got... When my
you gotta take off your cap for the camera, bro. Come on.
Chechenian warlord. Don't fuck with me.
As if your catchphrase isn't, but what's in it for Baryshnikov?
You know what's really funny? I watched GoldenEye because all of our listeners would know, you know, they keep it. They like entertainment. So they watch Stan and fucking Netflix. So Stan just bought all the rights to James Bond. So I've just became a fucking heroin addict of Bond, just mainlining fucking Sean Connery in my veins for the last like 2 months, like 4 times a day. I'm just on Bond, you know, smack.
Yeah.
And anyway, I watched GoldenEye.
You can continue. Miss Love comes up to me. He's like, you know how like people are Lord of the Rings people or Star Wars people? I think I figured out. I'm a Bond person.
No, dude. I figured that out when I was like 11. But basically, I watched GoldenEye. And like, dude, I resonated with the Russians in that movie. Hey. In
what?
GoldenEye. They're just
You're a
mad.
Commie now?
No, I'm not a commie. They're not. Would
it
you
comes
call
in
them
a package,
commies?
Mate.
Would you call them commies? Legitimately?
Yeah, Russians. Yes, I would call them. Because they were quite literally fucking commies.
Yeah, but China's literally
the
commies. They're not commies.
Affairs Actually, expert Ali
calling Russians commies. Sell out. Shill.
Did you know?
Shill.
Dude, we're basically just Miss Love and Trump. Miss Love. Because Trump, the other. Sorry.
They can
like,
handle Afghanistan.
Trump had the same issue as Miss Love.
Yeah,
he
that's
like,
true.
Because he said, did you know Russia used to be called Soviet Union? I'm not making that up. Look that shit up. That's you. Someone who's saying, wait, would you call Russians communists?
I think, boys,
but
I'm sorry
dumb,
to be.
We shouldn't
the
get into this politics.
The fun of. How many James Bond films Miss Love has watched
all of
recently?
Them.
Okay, right.
Yeah, continue.
You do
continue.
Need to impart your wisdom on the net for Ali
because
he was very upset at the highest compliment, which is people sarcastically giving you compliments.
Yeah, dude, I don't.
That's as big as it gets
you
on
got the
net.
The Nobel
Take
Peace
it from
Prize.
Somebody who
exactly.
has been on the net for the last 5 years.
Yes.
That's all you're gonna get, Ali.
Ali, how are you? Do you expect the head of YouTube to knock on your door? Give you one of those fucking YouTube awards that Jordan has, even though you haven't done anything on YouTube, it still gives you one. And
hey,
then,
Holdsworthy Live.
Okay, yeah, they give you an award
for your whopping 1,000 subs.
2,000
your huge contribution 2, to their revenue. The first person to go double platinum.
I don't like this attitude.
No, listen to me. Listen to me. That's not going to happen. You listen to me. You have been, and it happens to me all the time because people always are just like, oh. Like, I don't know, I'll like post a thing of me eating lasagna and be like, fuckhead, Italy spaghetti? And I'm like, yeah, thanks. You're a mad cunt. Like, you can be my best man at my wedding. So, like, basically,
dude, we have to do that for the podcast. You have to get the guy that insulted you on the net to give you the ring.
To give me the what?
Dude, your best mate would pretty much do the same thing as that guy.
Put it this way.
And you just know he's not going to wear a tuxedo. He's going to wear a 40s. Shirt that looks like a tuxedo.
Dude, but you
that
have
would be mad, actually.
You have received look, I'm not going to say the Nobel Peace Prize. You've received like some really worthless guy with a worthless position in the UN. Or the EU coming up to you and being like, "Hey, once the Bolsheviks came, Belgium was your hotbed. But the jazz clubs, it was always worth it because the jazz clubs were so good." One of those guys shaking your hand. So you should be in heaven.
I'm not, though. It didn't feel good when I was like being told that I
hate myself.
No, I don't want you to. I'm just saying I've made up my mind.
But logically, think about it. You should feel good. Logically.
Right, okay. So I think we need to make a shout out on the net. And this always
keep
goes
it coming.
Well.
Bring it on.
Ali is a sensitive soul and he doesn't want to be teased.
Yeah. Hey, you 20 million
this
people.
This is going to work. Yeah, I think we've cracked the code of trolls. This is what stops
the bees are
asking to be politely nice.
Isling, politely asking for you not to tease this man not wearing pants. Stop teasing him.
I forgot there was going to be a camera and I'm hot.
No, this is a good social experiment. Hey, guys that are on Centrelink, your mum won't even give you an allowance, no money. You're such an advocate for Mammy Noodles that like you might as well get it tatted on your face because you eat it most, like, as you know, the most as anyone on earth. Be nicer, all right?
Well, here's the thing. It would be fine if it was just like nameless bots on the internet. I'm talking about people that I know that are messaging me and saying you killed it. And I've done other videos where I've had a substantial role and I've never gotten a message.
It's a compliment.
You're listening to #BeBetter, the podcast.
Ali, it's
all right,
a compliment.
Let's move on. We were supposed to read Koshy.
We haven't read from the Bible.
Let's pay out Koshy and not me.
Let's read from the Bible.
You need to go to church, Ali. Admit your sins. See, this is the thing, right? This is the net in a nutshell. Do I love David Koch or am I paying him out? I don't even know.
It doesn't
anymore,
matter.
Man.
It doesn't matter.
No,
the lines are blurred.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's way too far.
It's okay.
And I think the answer at the end of the tunnel is I secretly wish he was my dad.
he pretty much is your dad.
Dude,
it's
weird that his dad is literally in the next room probably listening to this.
It does look a lot like David Koch.
And he also probably gives you like sound economic advice. He does.
Yeah.
Me and him
dude,
talked about you
also
buying property when he was in Lithgow for like half an hour. And I was like, yeah, he
dude,
waited too long.
Your
the bubble's going to burst.
He also has 101 ways to survive. He just gives them verbally. And they were also divided in 2009.
Terry and Koshy.
Instead of writing them in a book, he just sits there and watches A&E nonstop and says the same thing.
Dude, and Terry and Koshy sounds very similar. Is your dad Koshy?
Dude.
So.
Yeah, mad. By that logic. Yeah. Obama is Osama.
That's where he must go in the morning.
Well,
when I wake up,
where's
he's
his birth certificate?
Huh? All right. Anyway, here we go.
Let's hear some of the wisdom.
Number one, finances. Talk about it. Financial stress is one of the most traumatic pressures to cope with.
Those two real words I've ever spoken. Because
they can destroy families and relationships. Love and money don't necessarily go together. The key is to talk about your financial problems. Don't bottle it up so it eats away.
This is the shittest. This is like the Barefoot Investor written by someone with fucking Down syndrome.
Do you think he has property at this point?
Is that it?
This book
I don't
can
know.
Say,
I just okay, don't know. Maybe this what? Book doesn't
Look,
actually exist and I just wanted it
so
to exist so
the
much.
Tagline, pay the tagline.
What is it? Sorry, how did we forget this? Thank you for your astute eyes, Ali. Glad somebody's got their head strapped on right. The tagline to Koshy's 101 Ways to Survive 2009 is, this book can save you $10,000.
That's such a specific amount.
That's not that high.
That's the shittest amount of money.
This book can save you 1/100th of a deposit of a house in Sydney, maybe. So, Matt, so you basically saved me a peanut butter sandwich. You moron.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, how disappointed do people look on Deal or No Deal when they win $10,000?
Yeah, I would rather not have it. This book was written in 2009 when $10,000 was a deposit.
It wasn't, though. It still wasn't then. Dude, a deposit was still like five times.
Oh, yeah. His wife is bangable? Decent looking. Yeah.
She's bangable. His wife, you know why his wife's bangable, real quickly? She's got that kind of face. It's just like... Like, this is her face. Nothing will surprise her. Your personality can be that of a fucking doorstop. She's like,
Dude, doesn't she...
She kind of looks like...
Yeah, she's seen it all and why.
She kind of looks like that... She looks like an old...
She grew up in Tamworth, that's why.
Did she?
I'm just guessing.
Probably.
She does look like she grew up in Tamworth. And I am psychic. She looks like an older version of that lady from Stuart Little.
Sorry?
She looks like an older version of that lady from Stuart Little.
Anyway, that's readings from the Bible.
This is all interesting and insightful. I hope you all learned something.
It's uncanny.
Boshy's 101 ways to survive 2009, because we're down to just 100 ways next episode.
Dude, also, by the end of this book, which we're going to do in every pod, we will save our audience $10,000 each.
And
that's $20,000 if you combine all our audiences.
But then the most interesting...
It's only fair that you give us at least $2,500. Yeah. You're still profiting 300%.
That's right.
the real savings start when The Man Book by... What's his name?
James Curley.
By James.
How could you forget?
Because just to point out to our audience, I was going through my garage... And I found a little piece of merchandise that I thought I'd lost a long time ago that was probably the best find I've ever found. It was just like, might as well have been solid gold bricks. And it yes. was the Bible. And that will be coming up
Advice
after that.
Advice worth its weight in gold.
Oh, wait, so we're going to boot Koshy.
No. We're going to go through
toe to toe
page of that book.
Your head is going to explode with knowledge or success. Either one of those two things, and we aren't responsible for what happens. But viewer beware. Yeah.
You can pay my funeral with the $10,000 that you would have saved me.
I will shave you 1/16th of the price of a catering for a wedding party. I don't want that, Koshy. It's not worth the time I spend reading.
Dude, at least he's being realistic, because it...
Yeah, I know. Every other book's like 1 million, 2 million, 10 million. It's like 10 grand.
I'm sorry. Look, I know that we need to move on, because it's been half an hour talking essentially about whether or not we like Koshy's face. But there is two quotes on the back here. And they are, "These can be the happiest days of your life" by Libby. And then there's also one by "Tough times don't last. Tough and happy people do," David. And do you know who David and Libby are?
Who?
David and Libby Kosh. They quoted their own book. Giving their own book props.
That is the most retarded thing.
Aren't you supposed to find like famous friends that can do this shit?
That is the most fucked. He could have got that dumb bitch.
Dude, how depressing
rap.
Is this?
Get Nat.
Everyone knows who Nat is.
Or get the blonde guy with a gambling problem. What's his name?
This is sad.
Get Grant.
This is like Australia's Fareed Zakaria. This man.
Yes, for the very least, publish this in 2012 and then get Mel on it and being like, "Now that I've been fired from Sunrise, I really could use that $10,000. Oh, fuck me. No. All right, let's move on. Oh, we've had some fun.
This segment right, is just so going to be the segment that gives and gives.
Should we move on to like something more meaty, the political segment?
Yeah, I think we should. No, I think we should.
Or do you want to talk about...
What?
The garden.
Hmm.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, look, this is a travesty, actually. Let's talk about this. We'll quickly move on. But
yeah, it won't be a long segment.
We came this is the Jordan's house.
This is the segment. Ooh, Jordan's got a nice garden. Anyway, what's next?
No, but that's not the segment. That's
Ooh,
not the
corn.
Segment.
You don't see corn in beach areas. I mean, Bondi and corn. This is so silly.
So this is what Miss Love did for half an hour. And then demanded that I come out, being like, Jordan, come here. Did you know you had celery?
It's pretty impressive, though. Like
I mean, it is growing out of sand. Think about this. Maybe Judaism is right, because he has actually proven a Bible parable wrong. He built his house on sand. He did it.
Shit.
He fucking
give him Israel.
He's growing maize out of sand. The Israelites are fucking...
No, but that's not the point. We're going to move on.
Dame him and his kibbutz life.
So we came... So Jordan, we came... Word. When we saw the garden, we met your neighbor, who pretty much just owns everything around here.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a tenant to a slumlord.
So Miss Love, we were talking to your dad, and your dad was saying... Like stuff, like he was explaining, like what Peter's, your neighbor's all about. And Miss Love asked him, does he have any kids? And apparently he doesn't have any kids, but his brother has kids. And Miss Love's, and your dad was telling us how much property Peter owns. So he owns, just for the audience, we're in Bondi, prime Bondi, and he owns like several, what is this, units? These are like this multiple shit. And then he apparently owns a few apartments in Clovelly. And your dad was saying that all of this is going to go on to his brother's son. And his brother's son
is Fab.
Is Fab.
No.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Oh, that guy is a fan.
What happened?
How crazy.
I cannot believe this.
What happened?
If there is a man that like fits the dictionary definition of undeserving. This man rocks
yeah, exactly.
up and goes, he walks past my window once with a surfboard, using my hose, using my water to wash his surfboard. I hear it go. I look out, and because I'm too much of a pussy to say anything, I just go back to working. And then he walks back and goes, "Oh, you're the dude from the surfy videos. Nice."
Yes,
dude. That guy
to surf.
That guy is going to get close to $100 million.
Look, I have to
and it's not even his dad.
I have to disagree here. I have to say, there's no one that is more deserving.
Fuck off. No, that guy is the least deserving person.
No way, dude. He's a chill
maybe
dude.
He's Lao Tzu.
Dude, he...
That's
yes.
pretty much the teachings dude. Of Chinese
dude,
philosophy
he,
for 5,000
Yes, he
years.
Is a fucking Buddhist monk that has like blonder hair and smokes weed. it's chill.
Almost definitely has a tattoo of the Tao on it.
Dude,
he gave to the world.
I don't know how, like, if I should say this, but like, so I asked your dad, don't you think like maybe Peter would give the money to charity or something? And his response was, nah, he's Jewish.
Dude.
Not me, Jordan's dad.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for throwing my dad under the bus. AKA David Cook.
But look,
he's got to be Jewish with that name. But keep going.
He's got to be. But look, that's basically the segment. I mean, he's got
no
cherries.
The segment was, well, I'm sort of like you're happy that fucking surfy
I'm stoked.
Bum who goes to Indonesia to surf.
I'm into that.
And is going to get $100 million. I'm fucking pissed because I think he's one of the most undeserving human beings. But the segment was,
what would you do
with $100 million?
Bang. Now that's an interesting question, and I know the answer straight up. I would
novelty
put
combs.
A mansion, huh?
Novelty combs.
How many?
Could
enough
you
to
buy
fill up
a
billion novelty combs because it's in bulk.
Enough to fill up the landmass of like Bali per square meter. That's what you would buy.
That's so.
And
cool.
Then you would just like take one of those photos of like one of those dudes.
Yeah, with a letter on it, a really small letter that says "No hard feelings," and then crushing an entire island.
And then there'd be a photo with you. You'd actually be in the Guinness World Records because you'd be like, look how many I have from like a satellite photo. Is that it?
I'm going to have to change it to that, yes. But what I...
Not only that, he's uncreative. He can't even come up with his own ideas.
No, go on. What'd be the real answer?
Ali, good ideas never go out of style. And you're right. Novelty cones. Comedy peaked at that.
Give us the real answer.
Slightly larger than normal combs.
Give us the.
At least you'll have an amazing hairstyle every time.
Give us the close. Give us the close second choice.
The close second choice was I was gonna buy Jake Paul's mansion because he rents it at the moment, just to piss him off, just to make him move, and then I plonk it underwater in Dubai, and then just make it an underwater bubble mansion and live the rest of my life like Sandy the Squirrel in SpongeBob SquarePants.
You know what's fucked? He's been talking about this since he was 7. That's not a word of a lie.
No,
that's
no,
phase two.
But
it's
I
just...
remember this. He told me this when we were like first met, like maybe 6 years ago or something. He was like, I always wanted to build an underwater city.
Yeah, dude.
That was my dream, not to be a comedian. I settled.
Did you start like collecting 5 cents for one day building your underwater
set? No, this is what I went around and saw. Sorry, you're probably better at telling my life story.
I am, cunt.
You had a third degree perspective, because from my perspective, I honestly felt like Kanye West when he came up with selling a white shirt for $220. I thought it was genius.
You sold Freddos for $3.50. It's the same thing.
Right, yeah, that's right. That's what you do.
No, this is what happened.
And also, they were the white Freddos that no one wants to eat.
This is funny. Tell us what happened.
And also, sorry, and just as a quick side note to the fact, because nobody would buy the white chocolate Freddos because it's clearly the worst flavor. But there was this kid called Jesse Searles that I hated at the time. Now I love him.
Don't you talk about Jesse Searles without mentioning the spherical nature of his head. No, thank you very much.
There. We are getting there. It's just like, why did you bother buying microphones? We could have just hollowed out his skull.
And it doubles up as a cereal bowl as well. Two birds with one stone.
And he has some weird little jufro, so he acts as like a wind socket protector over the microphone. It's all there. We would save so much money.
Once again, I know there's so many divisions in this show, but that's, first of all, it's a sign of a good show. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. But just, I have to say, we had a small amount of time where people paid out
the audience what to like as well. Like, hey, you need to like this.
No, we had a small period of time, guys and girls, where you abused Jesse Searles online. Do it again. Anyway, back to it. Abuse him again.
I can't remember. Yeah, he was getting abused. He sent it to the House of Love saying, why is everybody writing to me? Searles gets the girls. And
bring it
the
back.
Answer is, Miss Love said scene, which means that it's time for a second round of that. But, so, write it. Searles gets the girls. Anyway.
Searles would eat the white chocolate.
Searles, out of everybody, hated the white chocolate more than anybody else. Right?
Of course he did.
And so I was selling chocolates, and he made fun of me once, and this is what a petty human being I am. I was selling him for 2 years straight.
He's an entrepreneur. He's always been an entrepreneur. Jordan's always been an entrepreneur. Go on.
Yeah. If by entrepreneur you mean scam artist.
But what's the difference? Come on.
But anyway.
Finally, you're coming around to communism.
I was joking about that. There's a difference. There's a real difference.
Because he once said like, oh, you're selling chocolate, you fucking idiot, or something like that. Because I'm such a petty man. I am the real life soup Nazi. I knew that all he wanted to eat was the white chocolate one. So I said that you are only allowed to buy the white chocolate. That's it. And so for 2 years straight, he was begging me every single day
for a caramello koala.
It was sometimes offering double the money, saying I'll get $4 for one of the caramello koalas.
Yes.
And I would flat out refuse because I have principles. And this is the saddest part. Despite the fact that he hated white chocolate, he bought it every day.
That is Auschwitz, isn't it? It's just like, we had to eat our shoes, but after a while we learned to love the shoes, you know. But I
taught him pain. I'm his Ariana Grande. Thank you, Ness.
You're
also a thief. You drank all my water too. Just as a side note.
That might have been.
Oh, was that yours? Was it?
Yes.
Well, to quote Gabbo, I'm a bad widow boy.
And to give a background story on Jordan, he got paid out meticulously by every
for selling those.
Yeah,
but you guys are dumb fucks. He's
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to make it.
Oh no, I paid him out the most. Gabe Borghino paid him out a lot as well.
Close second.
Why am I not surprised by the fact that you paid him out for doing something?
Gabe paid him out more. By the way, Gabe stole like his body weight in chocolate off you, just so you know that. He stole.
How?
And Luke. Maybe it was Luke.
Like little anyway, SOB.
He stole.
How did he steal it?
I don't know. He's crafty in Spanish. He's a dodgy cunt. Like, that's not a big surprise. But long story short,
he doesn't have bones. That's his secret, isn't it? He just went into the crack.
But basically, Jordan was paid out.
You stole his chocolate.
I stole probably...
No wonder he doesn't have an underwater city.
No. That's not what happened.
No, that's not the reason you don't have an underwater city.
That's not the reason.
Let him explain.
But basically, I think I stole them off Luke because I felt bad. I like Jordan, so I don't think I stole them off Jordan. Gabe stole them off Jordan because he has, you know, no morals. So he did that. I stole them off Luke because he was...
I can vouch for that.
Yeah, I stole them off Luke because he was just like... His entrepreneurship was lame. It's like, what are you going to spend it on? It's just like... I'm going to get custard tarts after school. It's like, fuck you. But basically,
no. The reason why he wanted to do it is because this legitimately is not a word of a joke. That is Luke Dansby Scott's real life Bible, Koshy's 101 Ways to Survive in 2009. That is his goal in life, to have $10,000.
But basically, it's essentially,
one of those really, he should be a lower middle class mum, not a trendy gay man in Oxford Street. He should live exclusively in Gosford and always buy shit from Aldi.
Fucking hell. So true. That is so on point. But basically, what happened was, someone did it. He saved all his money. He got paid out mercilessly. Everyone, some guy did the underwater hotel. He wanted to do an underwater hotel. So he was just like, oh, I can't do it now. And then we were all just like, ha ha. And then basically,
you failed at your dreams, dork.
And then basically, it was just like, Jordan was just like, oh no, what am I going to do with my millions and millions of dollars? And just became Billy Corgan in the Smashing Pumpkins in the series. So I was like, down in here, woohoo! Let's go buy fur hats. I want a blah 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 one. Like, that was Jordan, because it was just like sucked in. It's like, what am I gonna do with my millions upon millions? And we're just
wait, are you saying he stole his idea?
Someone stole Jordan's idea.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way
Dubai around. Prince that had a little more capital than someone who was selling chocolates at lunchtime
in fucking Sydney as a fucking 16-year-old.
But I'm sure you'd be aware about that, Ali.
Being that prince.
All right, well, so that's what we're going to do with our $100 million.
Wait a sec, you didn't even name your... Oh, you did name it.
No, we don't have time to get into that. Plus, fuck it. We're going to move on to a meaty segment because people are paying for this.
Okay. The hard talk with Ali douche.
BBC hard talk.
All right, are we going to get into some meatiness before the 40% autistic cunts are like, well, if I don't get my news from three guys that don't wear pants, where else am I supposed to get it? The BBC?
This is amazing.
It's better. I love that I've built an empire being like, don't trust the media. Anyway,
but I'm afraid
pretty hot in here, guys. What do you reckon? Another layer of clothes? Oh, I've seen your wheelies before. It's fine.
It's Australia. It gets hot.
We've seen our cocks enough. Dude, I mean, like many
dude,
times.
Dude, come on, Miss Love. Flash your cock on the camera.
Nah,
it'll get taken off.
Nah, I'll pass on that. I'm going to pass on that.
All right, I'm flashing my
No,
ass.
Dude, it's going to... No, dude, it's going to be like...
No, you're allowed to show some booty.
All I right. don't want to...
Asses up.
Plumbers crack. crack.
I want to talk about thing. Venezuela.
Bam.
First
hot
things first,
stuff
Charlie.
Coming through. Just
scandalous. Hot stuff coming through.
I have seen Jordan's ass more than anyone's ass.
I think you've seen my ass more than you've seen your own ass.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see my own
exactly
ass that often.
Right. Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah. I just have a clear
Can we
picture
please
perfect.
Move
you've
on
definitely
to something
seen my ass more than you have your teeny squeezes. And that's sad.
Sadly true.
Oh, man.
Do
so
people
good.
Think we're fucking?
Who?
Another layer to the internet troll is released.
Because like, it...
Are you seeing a shrink about this? I bet
no,
you
I'm
are.
No, I'm not seeing a shrink because, like, if I meet someone...
Yeah.
Like, they tell me... Like, one of the girls asked me, tell me something that no one knows... And I was like, I don't know what that is because I don't have like fucking deep dark secrets. And then she was asking me, tell me like I was like, well, like Jordan knows, like I tell whatever the fuck, I tell Jordan everything, and Jordan would tell me everything as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she thought like that's weird that he knows most of my shit. And
well, look, I'm on her side. You're clearly a homo.
That's what I'm saying. And I've seen his ass so many times that I don't even know how to dispute that. So, I've seen his talk too many times, actually. I just don't know how this is going.
Embrace it. You're in the gayest city in the world. I'm pretty sure you get like more Centrelink benefits if you're gay in Sydney. So just embrace it, dude. Oh
God, spoken such... like somebody who lives in Lithgow. But I love how this podcast always devolves into us... really psychoanalyzing whether or not we're gay.
That's what people pay
for. But the fact of the matter is, none of
so people give money to that.
Damn straight they do. This is the fucking. This is an insight.
We figured out a way to game psychology.
This is way better than 12
okay,
rules for
move
life.
On. We're gonna
12
move.
Rules for gay. That's the lamest.
Yeah, that's
12 rules for how to be gay.
I'm not on that train.
Oh, here we fucking go. Yeah. Hey, New Year! Hey, where's the...
You're
oh, we don't
trivializing
have the horn.
Sexuality here.
We don't have the harp horn, but that's the horn for...
Moving
was,
on.
No, that was the first year. That's the first time in 2019 Ali's not on that train.
Okay, all right, fine.
We do need that fart sound effect, but keep
However,
Yep.
You can get on this train.
Yep.
I'm a little afraid of doing the segments because the last time I spoke about Venezuela, I got a lot of people shitting on me.
Ali, you are way too paranoid about what people think. If we are in a point now where we can't shit on Venezuela, I'm not doing the pod anymore.
No, it's the other way. It's cunts like you who were shitting on me because
right.
I was just saying
pro Venezuela.
Well, I wasn't. Okay, let's
yeah, Miss Love can sympathize with that view.
Let's just jump into it. And guys, the Ben Shapiro Show. This is freedom of speech. I'm sorry if you're offended. You're offended. No one can pay out Ali. Okay, he can cop it.
I'll tell you exactly because I don't. So there's two camps. Well, we're going to talk about just an introduction. We're talking about the Venezuelan crisis.
Yeah.
There's two camps, right? And I think both those camps are equally ridiculous. There's one camp that says Venezuela is a shithole because of socialism. And
all right, now do the stupid one.
No, that's also stupid. Fuck! This is the thing. This is like
school's out, dork.
And then
Doyle rules.
And the other camp is, it's not right, because of socialism, it's because of sanctions.
Okay, right.
Which train are you on?
I'm not on any of these trains, because both these trains are just kind of stupid.
Yeah, because it's not commie enough for you. Can I just in this moment say, I love you guys. I really love you guys.
I've missed you guys a lot.
Let's I want to dive
whole time
right into
that
this.
I was sitting there at Christmas with the family that I've known and raised me. I was just like,
fuck this.
These aren't my real family.
Yeah. No, Ali, can we
it's
just
two guys that have
severe
very
autism.
Severe autism. All right, insecurities.
Let's start with the basics about Venezuela. We love you too, Jordan.
Let's jump into
Don't
it.
Don't be needy.
Let's jump
into
Jesus. Let's jump into it.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. So Venezuela currently is indeed a shithole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going through what the world went through, the Great Depression.
Damn,
in fact, worse.
That bad.
Their inflation is like in hundreds and thousands of percentage.
Oh my God. Is it worse than what's the country in Africa with like $50 billion notes?
Zimbabwe.
Is it worse than that?
It's actually close to that. Okay. In fact, I think it's not as bad as Zimbabwe.
Right, okay.
Was. Zimbabwe doesn't have their own currency anymore. They now do US dollars, fun fact.
That's right.
So the basic is what happened between 2013, 2012 to now that Venezuela went from being the richest country in Latin America.
Was it the richest?
Yeah. To a place where people are like mass migrating to Colombia and getting their head shaved off so that they can sell their hair.
Is that Fox
oh
News
my
caravan?
God.
True story.
Is that Fox News caravan of migrants?
No, that's a different. Well, there's probably there's some Venezuelans in it, but that's mostly from like I don't know
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua and shit.
Sounds like every hipster group I know, some Venezuelans in it.
one being like, hey, you know what's mad? This beat, doof, dat doof, dat doof.
So what happened?
What shampoo?
In 2013, the oil prices collapsed around 2014. Most of Venezuela's economy was based on oil exports, and most of their social programs, which were initiated by Chavez, were funded by the oil wealth. So what one of the things that Chavez did when he came into power was that he basically nationalized the oil revenue.
Yeah, a bit lower.
And those funds were funding most of these social programs. By the way, there were some remarkable achievements in it. Like the poverty rate went down by close to 56 to 60%.
Wow.
Which is insane.
It's
like
pretty good.
That's pretty intense. That's China levels, exactly. And so once Chavez died, oil prices collapsed, most of the money that they were getting sort of dried up and it just went crazy. What didn't help was the fact that let's address the sanctions.
The brass
recently
oh, yeah, yeah,
recently a so people like right-wing people always say sanctions have nothing to do with it. Sanctions are only there on select individuals, and this is because of socialist policies by Chavez and Nicolas Maduro now, which is leading to the problem. And sanctions that Goodyear, the tire company, recently closed down their factory in Venezuela. And this Goodyear is in some socialist organization. Their main reason for shutting it down, as cited by them, was the economic sanctions put on them,
right,
put on Venezuela by U.S. and largely the world community that basically just adheres to U.S.'s line. That's something, that's a fact. So if you think that sanctions have nothing to do with it, in fact, I have a little bit of a gripe with Obama on this, because initially when Obama put on some of these turbocharged sanctions...
Why did they do them? Just quickly, why did they sanction
Because
them?
They think that Nicolas Maduro is a dictator.
Yeah,
and,
right, I got you.
And they want to put sanctions so that they can do some regime changes and shit. And Obama termed it as, these sanctions are on select individuals that are close to Nicolas Maduro, and it will only affect them. That was a fucking PR stunt. Obama was like kind of slimy when it came to that kind of shit. He said the same thing about Putin. Whenever he had to put on sanctions based on domestic pressure, he always said it's on like a few people, select individuals. Mm. The repercussions of that is felt everywhere, because right, the economy isn't like just one or two people. Like, they're doing shit that other people depend on, and whatever the other people depend on, there's more people that depend on that. So it just anyway,
Ali, quickly. Is it fair to say that Obama is one of the worst presidents when it comes to international affairs?
No, it's not fair.
Fair enough.
About
continue.
Gerald Ford.
I just think that guy's name is funny. I don't know anything about his policies.
Oh,
me too. I love Gerald Ford, and I think he's my favorite U.S. president. Yeah. He did a lot for the country.
Yeah.
He brought them together after Watergate. And what else did he do? Oh, that's right. This is his famous quote.
I can't chew gum and walk at the same time.
FDR brought the New Deal. He brought the New Deal, the game, Monopoly. The New Deal game. I think it's fun.
Gerald Ford finds it difficult to chew gum. Please re-elect me.
Of these facts, 100% accurate facts that you guys are spitting out right now.
Hey, that's what you are.
You don't need facts when you've got truth.
When you got a heart.
You've got a heart.
When you got a heart.
Let me put down what I think is the problem with Venezuela, right?
Right.
The sanctions are horrible and they're crippling the economy, but that's not the reason for most of the shit that's going down. Chavez's social reforms and nationalizing the economy and the oil revenue, again, didn't help, particularly in time when so a lot of people were depending on it when the oil revenue died out. But that is not the reason that Venezuela is in shit. Venezuela is in shit like every other country that found large reserves of oil, with one crazy exception, Norway. Norway is the only country that found large reserves of oil
and
somehow made it into a win-win situation for them.
Wait a second. Wouldn't Venezuela, the sort of mainframe, have been exactly the same as Norway? They didn't privatize it and sell it away. They nationalized it. The government owned
the problem is, and obviously Venezuelan governments are to blame about that, but not just Chavez and not just Maduro, but
corruption.
Every government that was even before them, post the 70s, when the oil boom happened, around even 60s, 50s too. Yeah. So what happens is, And I think this is a problem that no one talks about. It's because of the stupid neoliberal economic idea known as comparative advantage. Right. What happens is, irrespective of what kind of government is, socialist, capitalist, libertarian, once there is a national wealth, like Venezuelan oil reserves that are found, every first world country that wants to use that oil to turbocharge their own economy, say, the way economics works is, this is your comparative advantage. Don't worry about other shit, because if you try to do that, you'll be shit at it. Mm. Focus on what you're good at. Mm. And you happen to have oil, so you need to focus on that.
The IMF did rattle.
No one gave a fuck about that, because all of that money was going into private pockets. And because...
How was it going? It couldn't have...
Chavez... most of these oil companies were private.
So, right.
So what was happening was, oil was facing a boom because economies all over the world...
So wait a second, Venezuela was like fucking as capitalist as the USA before Chavez.
No, more capitalist.
Yeah, more capitalist.
Really? All of South America was basically a test lab for fringe libertarians in the US.
What? Really?
It was... They wow. had like look they had periods when they were not very capitalist, but pre-Chavez and post-Chavez, you can sort of describe them as Chavistas, socialist, and a capitalist society. They had sort of
the rhetoric of socialism, like, but it was all privatized.
Left of center governments come in every now and then, but mostly it didn't matter because they were all doing the same thing. So what was happening was the economy after the oil reserves were found, and they have large oil reserves,
yeah.
and the most, and it's the only country which has the largest proven oil reserves.
Yeah.
Proven oil, that's a different story, but altogether. But anyways, so their economy automatically, when you find a windfall like that, gravitates towards oil. It's a byproduct of, like, unless you have some visionary that says, actually, this is a trap.
Because it'll run out or what?
Because it could be anything. It could, yeah. it could run out. Like now, oil prices could go down. There could be a thing called climate change and no one wants oil anymore and their people are depending on solar.
Well, that's whatever crazy.
It could be. Whatever the reason is. Maybe they found some other thing 10 years later.
Yeah.
Like some other fossil fuel that was yeah. better than oil. Then all yeah. of it. So if you like you put all your eggs in one basket. And it's also not something that people consciously do. It's just the way things happen. Which is encouraged by the international community, including the US.
Well, yeah, it is. But so you're saying what basically they it was all privatized and then went off. Offshore.
It went off. Initially, it was all fine.
Before they had a chance to use the revenue for the actual, for the government, for the country, for this, to spread around.
So this is what happens, right? They find oil, right? And then they start exporting that oil,
yep.
mainly to the US. They start making a lot of money. Private companies make money. And that money, look, even like a capitalist country like Australia, if James Packer makes money,
it
does
like
sort of trickle down in some way. I mean, poor people don't become rich, but they earn wages. People that are working at their casinos
It's the same scenario as Sydney, because Sydney sold off most of its...
Most of its
oil. Oil, most of its oil. No, it's oil. It's fucking
look, resources. You know what? And by the way, we're not immune to this. You can compare what happened in Venezuela on a small scale to what happened in WA after the mining boom.
Exactly.
What happened, like, same thing happened. And it's also not a conscious decision. It's something that happens. You find a shitload of metals and coal that China, which is growing exponentially, wants. All of your economy deviates towards that. You forget about everything else. Once the mining boom dries up, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Luckily, in Australia, we have a federation and we can sort of help them out in different ways. If your entire country is based on that, you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, but that was extremely poor economic planning.
But that,
I mean, honestly, why are you the head of a state if you think that a boom is never going to end?
Well,
that's got to be like
Jordan. You'd be surprised by how economies react to such a windfall. And I know you're absolutely right. And it's only
But this is the whole point. This is why you put it in a trust fund like Norway did.
Exactly, right. Norway is the exception here. Norway is the fucking exception here, who have managed to like turn this shit around and have actually used it to their benefit.
Right. You want to know something else, Ali? Just to add something that's extremely infuriating about all of this is that you're painting the West Australian government and the Australian government as kind of just being dumb to all of this. They knew that that was what you're supposed to do with that money. They just didn't because they bent to private companies. But the fact is that they set up one of those saving trust funds in East Timor, the exact same thing that they had for Norway. They set it up. The Australian government set that up. So they knew that that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That tells you that the power of private companies and private interests is unbearably difficult for political leadership to resist.
Yeah.
And that's a tragedy. Okay, now what happens in Venezuela is that you have... Okay, initially, these private companies are making money. Oil demand is growing. Their capacity to produce oil is growing. They're making more and more money. Their economy is growing. It's not equitable, but their economy is growing. What they were good at was educating their people, even pre-Chavez days. Mm. What happens is then they face some sort of a recession, right? This is around
the 80s. Just quickly, did the government manage to hold on to any of the money?
What do you mean hold on to any of the money? Yeah, they had money. Like, there was a recession, but it wasn't a depression. It was all right. Like, this is a cyclical thing with economies.
No, but I'm just saying, like, generally, to generalize, you said, let's say, majoritively it was privatized and sold off. the money was privatized and sold off. They made a short.
No, they were taxing. Yeah, this is the thing, they were taxing. It was
when there's a huge boom like that, they're always just going, "Oh, we're managing the economy so well because we're keeping 13% of the resources." Yeah.
And also because you're making so much money and the economy is growing, all of the shit that you aren't supposed to be doing goes under the rug because your economy is growing at a fucking exponential rate. You're growing at like 6-7%.
Yeah.
Well, like it's like a sports team, you know. If you're winning, all of your
I get what you're saying. I'm just trying to figure out if hypothetically we can praise like the socialist idea. Is it successful?
No, I'll come to that. I'll tell you what the difference is. And people get bogged down in this debate. So, okay, what happens with Chavez is he comes in and he appeals to a different base because. As Venezuela was growing and Venezuela was doing decently, their capacity to produce oil, export oil was growing, which is all their economy was dependent on and that's all they cared about.
Yep.
When Chavez came in after a recession, he sort of addressed the inequality within the system.
Mm.
So he said that this money belongs to the real poor people of Venezuela. And he nationalized the oil wealth and he decided to use that money to elevate poverty through these socialist schemes, which in hindsight weren't particularly good because they were falling in the same trap. They were just a socialist version of what the capitalists were doing. That is, depending only on oil revenues.
So that he didn't,
even if you're giving it to poor people,
yeah.
where your money, the source of your money is coming from,
so, yeah.
is only one place.
But like, surely, like Jordan was saying with the 101 economics, surely like it's 101 government management to... not put literally put all your eggs in my basket, not literally say oil. Like, that's surely he had saying, the fucking brain besides, to be like, maybe like put it into like, I don't know what else makes money.
It's easier said than done.
Wins?
Crocodile vests.
It's easier said than done because that's what I'm saying. Every country that has found huge oil reserves, it has been a curse for them.
Yeah, because
they all fall into the same trap. Besides
Australia as well, right?
We don't have that many. We don't have like such a large amount of oil reserves. And plus, yeah, coal is.
Did we fall into that trap?
Yeah, we fell into the iron ore trap.
Okay.
We and this was the same thing, but not as much as like oil, because oil changes lives. Oil is a very or used to be a
it's
very.
Like, it's just like
it's like finding diamonds.
Yeah.
So it completely overwhelms everything.
It overwhelms the psychology of this of the country. Yeah.
So when Chavez came in, he nationalized the revenue of oil. He followed the same model as what the previous governments were doing, but just he shared it in a different way, right?
And kept it for the government.
Which I think, in the grand scheme of things, when you're running macroeconomics, is irrelevant. Because I am not, like, I mean, for just as like an experiment, I am not interested in how if that money is going into deep private pockets or if that money is going into really poor pockets. Where the money is coming from and how and the sustainability wealth. Of that wealth, that's the issue that we're looking at.
So what he should have done is gotten the money and invested a lot of it into something that would pay dividends. So in what 10
what
years
he should have done
right?
is what he should have done is and also now I'll sort of defend the socialists in one way because I happen to be one of them. The sanctions didn't help. It's hard to diversify your economy when most of the people that are buying the stuff are putting sanctions on you, right? But nonetheless, sanctions are like an excuse. You still need to manage it somehow. They never tried or they never adequately tried or succeeded in diversifying their economy. And then all their eggs were in one basket, which was oil. If it was privately or publicly appropriated, doesn't matter. When the oil prices went down, the economy tanked.
Just quickly, I'm really curious, quick side note. How did Norway invest theirs?
They made a massive. First of all, they didn't put all their eggs in one basket. They recognized that a lot of their wealth does come from oil, which is fine.
What do they do? Just quickly, as a quick side.
For example, like isn't Nokia used to be
So they invested into tech.
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that Nokia. Tech, exactly right. And Nokia used to be such a huge company.
It used to be mass. Snake. Shout out, Snake.
You can't imagine a big company like Nokia coming from Saudi Arabia. Because they're so dependent on oil.
That's very true.
That they don't have time.
They
don't even think about that short. But
see,
Norway
that I have to
different.
Say. I have to say that. Like, I am probably considered like conservative in many perspectives. Maybe economically as well. I don't know. But not doing that seems crazy to me.
It is absolutely crazy.
One could argue that is conservative.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's very true. It's conservative to fucking invest in something that keeps you making money.
But the main overall economic strategy of Norway was to put $1 trillion. This is what they did.
Yeah, that's think about this. Like what Australia universities
had $1.3 trillion that John Howard let go overseas just in his tenureship.
Yep.
He let $1.3 trillion go overseas to foreign multinational bank accounts. That's where all of our wealth went.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what an obscene amount of money that is.
It is an obscene amount of money.
Don't you reckon? Like, if the moon was for sale, we'd have change.
They made a huge fund.
Norway did the same thing. They're the Paris Hilton of developed nations. They just live off a trust fund now. They put it all into this huge fund.
What, bonds?
No, like a savings account. And then they just manage it like you would manage a really safe super portfolio.
Like a hedge fund or something. So what you do is you put all your money into a bank, into an account. You put
it into a high interest earning...
No, not interest. So what you do is then savings. Investment bankers take over that money and they invest it in places where they feel that they can get a return on investment. So
it's
still
risky,
and
but it's but all investment...
No, with that really. Sort of money, all it's not risky.
If you're a hedge fund manager, you know what you're doing.
Yeah. And also, even
and
if
also
it is...
And also, all investments are fucking risk.
With that sort of money... It'll make itself. Because even if you lose some money, you still have a lot of money to get return on investment.
And you know what else is amazing about that Norwegian trust fund? They have so much global power now because I can't remember what the stats are. I think it's like one in every $50 in the world is Norwegian money now. And as a result of that, they have a lot of soft power over the planet. And they can pull out of investments if they think that something's against, like...
Wow.
If a country...
Their morality.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They don't have to invade anymore. They can just say, we're pulling our investments out. And then the African dictators have to be like, okay, leave them alone.
Dude, that's like meta. Yeah. I've never thought about that. You have so much money as power that to destabilize a country, you pull your funds out, not fucking spend money going in. I've never even thought about that.
It's an amazing model.
But this shit seems like common sense.
It seems common sense, but like they say, common sense is the most uncommon thing.
So back to Venezuela then. I want to keep going.
No, anyway, so in 2003 when oil prices tanked,
that's what happened.
What made it worse was that these socialist policies by Hugo Chavez, where he was basically giving out. So it's a little more complicated than the way I put it. Their economy is extremely import driven. So even things that they can produce quite easily, they import. In fact, not only that, what they do is,
that's globalism. That's stupid.
Yeah, but they're more world, fucked. But... Like, they're worse off. Okay. So what happens is, like, let's say if you were to buy a toilet roll. Let's say a toilet roll costs $5 in international market.
Yeah.
They will promise their people toilet rolls for $3.
Mm.
What they'll do is they'll buy it for $5. And then they'll make up the remaining two themselves.
That's so stupid. Sell.
Well, it's
no. If it's, you're from a poor country, it's a moral obligation of the government. That's how they'd see it.
It's called subsidy
with its gas money. It's subsidizing.
Even we do it with certain things. So, for example, even with WA, right? So in Western Australia.
Yeah, sorry, go
in
on.
Western Australia, after the mining boom ended, their revenue shrank.
Yeah.
The GST is formed in a way where we give states money based on how much they need it, right? So even we subsidize the Western Australian economy. So if they will give them something at a lesser cost, and like bigger economies like Victoria and New South Wales will make up for it. That's not particularly bad.
Right. No,
the way
sure.
it was
sure.
entrenched in the Venezuelan system was a little corrosive, particularly when it's not coming from a diversified economy.
Yeah.
The other problem was that because Venezuela gave public jobs,
mm-hmm.
so everyone now sort of has
government jobs.
Two or three jobs. So everyone has a government job, but the government job is based on a very minimal salary, and after this hyperinflation, none of that salary. So you go out and you have to buy milk. It costs like $100,000of whatever their currency is,
and
then their money, the money that they're getting, is 60. It's that sort of ridiculous.
Yeah,
because
it's complicated.
The Maduro government has fixed their exchange rate.
So I understand that. Can I just quickly ask then, is it a question of the problem is just that they didn't diversify their economy and they relied on oil? So, let's say crony capitalism or hyper-capitalism. Even versus crony socialism. Versus socialism or crony socialism. Is it like those isms don't actually matter? Or they do matter? Like,
no, they matter.
Look, so you still blame... You would still blame crony capitalism that fucked the problem in the beginning because they were just like...
I'm saying...
It's hard to pinpoint. Crony capitalism
and crony socialism, you know what I mean? Of Chavez and Maduro is not helping the situation. What I'm trying to say is it is not... As controversial as it seems, it is not the root cause of their problems.
No, I get
because
that.
Because when the oil prices were high, it was somehow managing, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, the Chavez government was funding other Latin American countries. So not only were they taking care of themselves and reducing poverty, they were sort of like, they were regional leaders.
So you think, so it's almost not a question and of so, capitalism versus socialism.
It was
socialism.
The same thing it's a question of pre-Chavez when it was a capitalist state. They were doing the same thing. They were still making money.
All right, I got a question actually really quickly. What does America do with its oil when they find it? Because they've just hit a lot of oil now, right?
Well,
what do they do?
With America, it's a little different. So they have a lot of oil. They've always had a lot of oil and they've always known that they've had a lot of oil. With America, the problem was that the cost of extracting that oil was so high that it was uncompetitive in the international market.
So they'd buy from Saudi Arabia.
Fracking and shit, that's changed. So their oil revenue is just like
Do they manage it well?
Is just
do they
about
manage
to start?
Does it, okay, here's a small question that you can answer in one word. Does America manage its economy well in terms of
profitability? Yeah, because they don't depend on just oil. They have a lot of other things that they depend
on. They're blessed, aren't they? They
don't manage their economy well.
No, I mean, look, there's the fiscal policy, which is whatever money that you have, how do you use that money? They don't manage their fiscal policy.
Because they just
spend
it on the
however,
military
in terms
and
of research, growth, improving your economy.
Yep.
The only problem that America has is that a lot of their money comes from speculative investments, which is
like the housing markets and shit.
Like housing comes market, from basically
nothing.
Wall Street. Yeah. Wall Street.
Right? Yeah, it's so retarded, isn't it? If you actually look at Wall Street, it's like it's a fucking school playground. It's had grown men running around yelling at each other. Sometimes even punching each other.
And throwing midgets and shit too.
And there's a bell.
There's a fucking bell that someone gets to ring. It's insanity. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Let's go have a really yummy lunch. Like, it is insane.
But you know what? That's exactly the reason why U.S. is against climate change and why Republican...
Why
Noam Chomsky says it's the most dangerous organization in the world.
Why?
Because they finally found... They've finally been now able to extract all of this oil... At a cost-effective price, and they're able to sell it in the international market, where all of a sudden people like Jordan tell them, actually, you can't do that anymore because the planet is warming up. So business interests within America are like, well, fuck that shit. I want to make money.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why they're not pro-climate change. Well, at least the Republican Party is. However, within them...
Because they're pro-business no matter what.
Let's look at like the state of Texas, for example.
Sorry to divulge.
Texas has always had oil, right?
Yes, yeah.
Texas is also a powerhouse for wind energy. So there's competing forces within that state that are fighting with each other.
Holy shit.
And it is crazy. Like, they're making a lot of money from wind and they're also making a lot of money from oil.
Fuck.
So they have now started selling their oil in a time when it's just not, it's not making a killing like it was when Saudi Arabia, for example, found it or was selling it. Even Saudi Arabia, a country that still has a fuckload of oil, where their minister who drills holes to find water ends up finding oil every time, is trying to diversify their economy now. The main guy is, that's their plan, because they see that because of climate, eventually it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Which is a smart thing to do. The problem is how are they able, because that's another country which solely depends on oil. If oil prices completely tank, The thing with Saudi Arabia,
they've still got dried fish in Antique.
They'll be fucked.
Trinkets and bees, Ali. Trinkets
and bees. That is
amazing
that you become one of these hotshot, like, mad dogs of war, trading in fish. Because that is what you should be doing in your life, isn't it?
What is this? It's Nesquik pellets. What is this for fish? No, you eat it yourself. It's a treat.
Yes.
You raghead.
You're Nicolas Cage.
I'm good at this job.
Well, okay, look.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay, well, look.
I'll take a final question. Okay. I'll take a final question, all right?
Yeah, yeah. How long are our pods going for these days? Are we doing an hour and a half each one?
No, we're doing like an
just
hour.
Just whatever.
1 hour, right. 18 minutes.
Well, look, just to I think we're not going over. It's so good. So to go back to Venezuela, so if it comes down to an argument of capitalist versus socialist, and when people like Ben Shapiro are just like, look at Venezuela, you think that communism works, look socialism, they're eating rats. Do you think it's more a question...
Yeah, but Ben Shapiro, he frames his arguments like a lawyer does. Yeah, he doesn't look at the wider context of it. Ali has given a really intelligent breakdown of what's happened to Venezuela in the last 50 years.
Yeah. Now I can raise my hand.
Yeah. Ben Shapiro is a smart man. He does.
All right, so Ali from now on has two official catchphrases. One is when he's offended by something, he says, quote, I'm not on that train. Go back to previous podcasts to see the origins of that. And when he feels like he has finally earned it, he raises his hand... And that a la Star Trek legal impossible point.
First of all, he's not offended by it. He's covering his ass. Let's call it what it is.
What?
You're not offended by it. You're just covering your shit.
I'm offended.
Bullshit. Anyway.
You do realize we've got a camera now.
We've got a camera on you. What I want to ask is, that argument sort of goes out the window. It's more a question of sensible management of resources. That's the real question.
No, look, it doesn't go out of the window for me. At this point, I have tried to purposely ignore that aspect. Or not ignore it, but like not put too much attention onto it, because that's where the general debate lies, rather than what the actual issue is. However, if we want to talk about this, I do have a camp. Look, I genuinely believe, like, once you've got an economy that is diversified, that is making money, that money is used, that brings us back to the question of America. The fiscal policy of how you use that money is also very important.
Yeah.
Because you can either use all of that money and fill like certain pockets, or you can use the same amount of money to educate your people, to reduce poverty, to increase the size of the pie, and make sure that if you're fed well, like... the old lady next door is also, you know, has a nice meal for her to eat.
Yeah.
And this might sound like in Australia, that's kind of like it's not necessarily the case. But like in Latin American countries, that's a real issue.
Yeah.
Like there's people that are genuinely starving. So how you use that wealth is also important. And I'll bring out my socialist things. Well, like I think that it needs to be, you need to have some sort of, over the years I've become less communist, clearly, even less socialist in that way, but I still believe in public investment towards poor people.
It's not an extremist perspective.
It's not an extremist perspective at all.
Even though I think that
they'll pay you back.
They'll become
functioning members of society and the economy. They'll give you more in taxes. Keep them really poor, they're useless as well.
Yeah. So no, I agree with that. Even though I think that whatever her name is, Cortez chick, is insane and like a loony. But
why do you not like her?
She wants to abolish ICE. She doesn't understand facts. Like she just
But the reason she wants to abolish ICE is because she wants to re-divert those resources back to the original border control force. That's the issue. Because ICE is above the law. That's the reason that they
have an issue
with
the law. They're a government organization.
The goddamn refugees are above the law. They're coming in without even visas.
And also, she's like...
Ali raises a good point here. We've got bigger fish to fry than ours. Right.
On that note, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, all right. We'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next week. This is the first of 2019.
And also, we're not paying attention to the camera, but like, if you want to watch it this way, then
Joe Rogan it up. And also, Patreon is nice because then we can buy more
Hawaiian shirts
and
pants.
No, and little bracelets from Bondi. Ow.
Beef. Hey.
See ya.
Bye.